I thank the Lord for the privilege of being with you all again today. It's always good to be at Hope Church, to be able to worship with you, to see a lot of familiar faces and to see some new faces as well. So it's always very encouraging to be here with you all. Those of you that have been here for some time know that I've been preaching through Psalm 23. And we are about halfway through. There are six verses altogether. We have considered so far the first three verses. So today we will look at verse 4. And the Lord willing, in June and July, we're looking at verse 5 and verse 6. So we'll see how the Lord works things out. But that is the plan as it stands at present. So we read in verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." That's the first half, in a sense, of that verse. There is more to it. But this verse actually is sometimes misquoted, and it's misquoted as follows: "Yea, I walk through the dark valley of the shadow of death." But the word "dark" is actually not there at all. Now, it is true that valleys can be dark, especially when you've got some of the cliffs going straight down, and at the bottom of the valley, it can be quite dark because sunlight may not be able to penetrate through there. But the word "dark," you know, is not really there. The psalm does not say that it is dark there. And you might say, well, what's the difference between a dark valley and just a valley? Well, think about it in this way. There must be light where there is a shadow, because it says the valley of the shadow of death. So you cannot get a shadow without light. If you don't believe me, just go out on a dark night and go outside, and you can experience for yourself, or even inside the house. At night, you turn all the lights off and you look around and say, "Where's my shadow?" And I can guarantee you, you will not see a shadow. So in order for there to be a shadow, there must be light. So we are aware then that there is a shadow. And all that death can do to a believer is to throw a shadow across his path. Shadows never hurt anyone. You can walk right through a shadow. There's nothing to fear. There must be light when there is a shadow. Now, there's something else too that I want you to observe as we begin our consideration of verse 4 here. And I want you to notice the change in personal pronouns. See, when we looked at verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And then, in verse 2 and verse 3, you read about the third person. "He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake." But now, it is becoming more personal. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." So it is now the pronoun "thou," a second person. It becomes a most intimate discourse of deep affection. So we see the changes as this psalm goes on. So let's go back now again to the picture of the shepherd and the sheep. As summer approaches, a good shepherd will lead his sheep to higher ground. Now, this is usually a long and a slow journey, and it can be actually quite a dangerous journey as well. and the sheep feed as the shepherd leads the sheep to the high country. See, during the winter, the sheep are in the low ground. They're in the village. But now, as spring comes, they go up, and in summer, they want to be in the high ground country. So they will spend the summer in the high country, and the shepherd will actually stay out there with the sheep. You may recall that when God sent the prophet Samuel to anoint Jesse's son to be king, and the first one came, and Samuel said, "Wow, he looks like a good specimen. I'm sure he'll make a good king." But God says, "I don't look as man does on the outer appearance. The Lord looks on the heart." And God said, "I've rejected him." So Jesse brought his second son. God said, "Not that one either." The third son, "Not that one." All the sons are there. "Jesse, are you sure you don't have another son?" "Oh yes, I got one more. But he's not here. He is out with the sheep." So David knew that. So that picture that we get here in this psalm written by David, you know, David had experienced some of these things himself. So the shepherd and the sheep are out in the high country, and David was in the hills looking after the sheep. So he was called back, and it's then that Samuel anointed him as king. But then during autumn, the shepherd will lead the sheep back to the lower country and home for the winter. So you do see an annual cycle there, with the shepherd leading the sheep to the higher ground, and then in autumn bringing them back again so that they can be home safely for winter time. So it is the shepherd that leads the sheep, and we saw that. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he guides his sheep. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Green because there is water there. You know, today when you look outside, most of the grass is not very green. Typical Australian countryside, brown. You know, there's not much we can do about it unless you spend a lot of money on watering your lawns. So, you know, c'est la vie, as the French say. That's life. Nothing much we can do about it. But it is green grass where the shepherd leads his sheep, because he knows that this grass has been well watered. And that's why he can say, "He leadeth me beside the still water," not fast flowing water, because the fast flowing water would catch in the fleece of the sheep, would actually make the sheep top heavy. It would turn over and fall into the stream. So the sheep would need to drink from still waters. And it's then that he restores my soul. We talked about that the last time, how sheep can become cast. A sheep, you know, rolling on the ground, and there's just a little indentation in the ground, and the sheep is there on its back, its four legs stopping up, sticking up in the air. And because it's in the hollow ground there, the sheep is not able to turn back over again. And a sheep like that would die unless the shepherd turns it right side up again. So that's why we see that. "And then he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake." So in the journey of life, the sheep, or in this case I can say the people, know that the shepherd is with them. At least I hope that you realize that we are like the sheep in this psalm. And the shepherd, the Lord, guides us. And that's why we need to fear no evil. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Because the psalmist says, "For thou art with me." Lord, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, you are with me. And Jesus promised that also. He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So we know that the Lord is with us always. The Lord cares for us, guides us, directs us. And so our shepherd is with us at all times. So it doesn't matter where you are, for he is with us. And that's one of the wonderful things. You know, whether you're home, whether you're in the hospital, whether you're traveling, he is always with you. That's why when I've had surgery, you know, various times, I've never worried about that, because I know that my shepherd is with me, and he is with you as well. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That is the promise that he has made. And as I've said before, he is a gentleman, and gentlemen always keep their promises. And so he has promised to be with us. Thou art with me. David could confidently say that, that the Lord was with him, and the Lord is with us. So the shepherd then leads the sheep. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So the shepherd leads through the valleys. And this actually is a gentle grade up the hills. You know, if you look at the sides, they can be very steep. It would be very hard to go that way. But if you go through the valleys, yes, you will go up, and there may be a lot of turns, but it is a very gradual way up the hills. And we recognize that every mountain has its valleys, and the best way to the top is through the valleys. You might also observe that it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It is through the valley. We will come out on the other side. And that again is the promise of God. So the Lord leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. He is with us all the way till we enter the higher ground, till ultimately we as Christians reach heaven. Now here I'm assuming that you are a Christian, and if you are not, I would ask you to consider the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So unless we ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save us, we cannot be saved. He is the only way to God. We're all sinners, and because of our sin, we deserve to die. The Bible makes that very clear. But it says the Lord Jesus Christ shed his precious blood on Calvary for our sins. He took our sins upon him, and it is through his death then that we can have the forgiveness of sin and everlasting life. And so he can lead us then through the valley till we enter the higher ground, till we enter heaven. Now, for those of us who remain on earth for the time being, when we have difficulties, when we have disappointments, when we have discouragements, and let's face it, disappointment, discouragements, difficulties will come. But he leads us through them all to a higher ground in our walk with God. He is with us, and that's the beautiful thing. So the shepherd leads through the valleys, and that is a gradual way, a gentle grade up the hills. But not only do we see that it's a gentle grade up the hills, as the shepherd leads through the valleys, this is also a well-watered route. So there is water there. And that is again important. I mentioned earlier already, it tells us, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And we recognize that as the rain comes, it will go down to the valleys. It's not going to stay high up on the mountainsides, but it's going to run down in the valleys. So as the shepherd leads the sheep through the valleys, that is where the refreshing water is. That is where the sheep are able to find that still water from which to drink. So it's needed by the sheep. as they have that long journey to go up on the hillside. And in the valleys of our lives, we will find refreshment from God. And it's not till we have gone through deep troubles, such as sickness or even death in the family, there may be a loss of a job, that He refreshes and restores our souls and spirits. So He leads us along that well-watered route. And it's only those who have gone through such valleys, we might say now dark valleys, because they can get dark. And those who have experienced the Lord's refreshing and restoring can console and comfort others. As we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So, we are comforted by God. He is the God of all comfort. He is also the God, of course, of mercies. But He comforts us in all our tribulation. You know, I'm thinking of a lady that I know in Singapore. We used to teach in the same Sunday school. And on the way to the Sunday school, I would drive there and I would stop. We'd pick her up and add her to the carload full that we already had. She was probably about 18 at that time, still just a young lady. And we'd go to the Sunday school, we'd teach, and on the way home, I'd drop her off again. Well, years went by, she got married and had a family. And this is a case that's known in Singapore in our Bible Presbyterian churches there, because one day her son was killed in an accident with a bus. So the bus ran over her young boy, the son. And, you know, I can say in the case that I really feel sorry for you. But I've never experienced anything like that myself. But she had a tremendous ministry in comforting other people that had lost their children, especially mothers. She was able to really not just sympathize, feel with them, but she says, I just know what you feel. I lost my son. And she had a tremendous ministry of being able to comfort those who had lost children. I haven't seen her my last trip to Singapore. I'll have to ask next time I go to Singapore, which will be in 10 days' time. I'll have to ask, how is she? You know, and find out how she and the husband are doing. Because we do see things like that happening. But it's only those that have gone through the experiences that can really console and comfort other people. Otherwise, you say, yeah, I feel for you. But we have never really experienced ourselves. So our experience is a very limited one. So it's a shepherd who leads through the valley, which is a gradual way up the hills. It's also the place where the best water is. And not only is the best water, that's where the grass, because of the water, the grass is green. So the shepherd also leads through the valleys where the best food is. The shepherd leads the flock slowly. They're not in a hurry. You know, the shepherd slowly walks ahead of the sheep and the sheep follow them. He's not behind them. He does not drive the sheep, but he walks ahead. And the lambs have never been this way before. The older sheep But if they remember or not, I don't know how much the sheep can remember of those experiences. But certainly the older sheep had been that way before. But for the lamb, it's the new way. They've never been this way before. And so the shepherd wants to make sure that there is water for the sheep to drink, that there is food for the sheep to eat, and the food is in the valleys. So that's where it is. Now, it is possible for dangerous animals to be there, and we'll talk about that more when we come to the second half of the verse. But there may be dangerous animals. The valleys may be subject to flash flooding. Look at the floods they've had in Queensland. You know, thinking about that. But the shepherd knows that in spite of the fact that there may be dangerous animals, that there may be flash flooding, he knows that this is still the best way to go to the higher ground. And he keeps his eyes and his ears open for any possible danger. He looks around, but he also listens. One job that I had was a security guard in a large apartment building. And every hour, we had one guy working outside, and every hour he would come inside to let me take the lift to the top floor, and I would get out, and I would look down the corridors. Do I see anything out of the ordinary? Do I hear anything out of the ordinary? Do I hear any smoke alarms going off anywhere? And if not, I would walk down one flight, and same thing, checking to see if everything was all right. So it's not just a question of looking, but also a question of listening, and for that matter, smelling. Because there was one time he smelled gas, and one of the elderly ladies had left the gas on. And if we, I think it was one of my colleagues that was on duty that night, and he smelled the gas, and so was able to take care of that problem. So you look, you see, you listen to make sure there is no danger. And when we look back over our lives, we can see how God led us, how God guided us, how God sustained us through the valleys of life. And this gives us comfort and hope for the future, because we know that as He guided us in the past, He will guide us in the future. He will continue to guide us through the dark days and the deep valleys. Let come what may, I will fear no evil, for the Good Shepherd is with me. And no doubt, there will be some valleys for all of us. Life is not exclusively mountaintop experiences. There will be difficulties. But as the Lord Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And He's overcome the world. And so we need not worry about a lot of these things. So, how do we react then to these valleys in life? With Christ, our Good Shepherd, we can face them calmly. With His gracious Spirit to guide us, we can face them fearlessly. And when we follow Him to higher ground, we shall first of all be blessed ourselves. But secondly, we can also be a blessing to those around us who may live in fear. And we can comfort them. As Paul says, the God of all comfort comfort us, so that we in turn will be able to comfort others. So, when you see people living in fear, tell them, you don't need to fear, for the Lord, the Good Shepherd, is with you. He's with you. He's with me. And He guides and directs us day by day. But I mentioned we should look also at the last part of the verse, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So the shepherd leads the sheep through the valleys, a gentle grade up the hills, a well-watered route where the best food is. And then we have that comfort also, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You may wonder about this rod and staff, what they are. Now, first of all, the rod. A shepherd boy, as he first began to look after the sheep, would make himself a rod. He'd be taught how to do that, and no doubt he would have helped in making this rod. But he would find a young tree, not very tall, maybe only 5-6 feet tall. And he would take that tree and he would dig it out of the ground. He would not cut it off, but he would leave the roots on there. So he would dig the whole thing out of the ground. And then he would take a knife and he would cut off the roots, but the big bulk at the end would still be there. Just all the outrunners that would be there that he would cut off. And then he'd make it sure that there's a proper hand grip. So it would have to be a very young tree and a small tree because he is still a young boy. But he would do that. The thicker part would be where the trunk joins the root. And he would learn to use this as a weapon. And he would learn how to use to throw it accurately. Now, when I say throw it accurately, he would not throw it to hit the sheep. He might kill the sheep if he hit the sheep. But he would throw it so it would land near the sheep. The sheep would, wait, what's going on, you know? And he would get the sheep's attention by throwing that rod near the sheep. And then the sheep would be running towards the shepherd because he knew, the sheep knew that if he would be near the shepherd, he would be safe. So he would shape it then to fit his hand and he would have it ready. And he would use that to get the attention of the sheep by throwing it near the sheep. But he could also use that to fight wild animals if necessary. You know, when God called Moses to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt, it was Moses' rod that demonstrated the power that God had given him. It was through Moses' rod that miracles were made manifest, not only to convince Pharaoh of Egypt of Moses' divine commission, but also to reassure the people of Israel. So Moses had his rod. And if you go back to Exodus, you can read several passages where you see that. You know, he could throw the rod down and it would turn into a snake. And he'd grab it by the tail and turn back into a rod again. You know, so you see how God used Moses and Moses' rod to guide his people. Now it is the rod that speaks of the word of God. It carries with it the convicting power and the irrefutable impact of thus says the Lord. You know, and that is the wonderful thing, because you see that phrase in the Bible a number of times. Thus says the Lord. You know, this is not some preacher preaching. This is what God says. And we must be aware of these words from God. So that is one of the wonderful things. We have God there. He guides and directs us. So the rod then speaks of authority and power. The shepherd has authority over the sheep. And God's word has authority over us. Because if we want to know what is truth, we go to the word of God. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. So we know the truth of the word of God. Now Jesus, of course, also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so both the written word of God, the Bible, and the living word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, are absolute truth. Have you ever noticed when you're studying in school, you know, you look at your textbooks, some of you are students, and some of us, we don't do much studying these days, except like in my case, sermon preparation and lecture preparation. But you know, when we look at books, we look at it, second revised edition, or third revised edition, or abridged edition. You know, they're always having to revise our textbooks, but there is never a revised edition of the Bible. Because it is absolute truth, and it does never need to be updated. So the original that we had hasn't changed. The Word of God is the Word of God, inspired, infallible, inerrant. And that's the blessing of the Word of God. So that Word of God then has authority over us. And then, as I mentioned already, the rod can be used for discipline. Because that's how the shepherd would use it. Throw it near the sheep. Sheep trying to run away. Oh, no, you don't. Throws the rod out there. He practiced. He knew how to throw it. He's not going to hit the sheep. He's not going to break its legs or hurt it worse. But the sheep would get its attention and it would come running back. But the Word of God, it corrects us. It reproves us when we go astray. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. Beautiful passage. If you haven't memorized it, you know we always have memory verse. Memorize 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, that is spiritually mature, thoroughly furnished, or thoroughly equipped unto all good works. So we have that Word of God. It's good for doctrine. It teaches us, for reproof, for correction. It reproves us. It corrects us. It instructs us in what is right. So we need that Word of God. And the rod, the shepherd's rod, speaks to us of the Word of God. It's been said, this book, referring to the Bible, will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Think about that. This book, the Bible, will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. A sinning person doesn't usually read the Bible. But a person who reads the Bible and knows what God is teaching will not live a life consistently of sin. And so we see the shepherd there guiding and seeing how the rod uses and how the rod is used. So the rod also then is used to protect the sheep. And we might also say, the shepherd used it to protect himself from some of the wild animals. You know, David again talks about this in 1 Samuel chapter 17, for instance. He makes reference to that. 1 Samuel 17, verses 34 and 35. You know, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. So David here writes about his personal experience, how he used a rod to protect the sheep from the attacks by the wild animals. And Christ, the Good Shepherd, used the rod of God's Word to withstand Satan's temptations. You know, if you look at Matthew chapter 4, and you see the temptations of the Lord Jesus Christ there. You know, if you are the Son of God, change this stone into bread. You know, and Jesus said, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And then the second temptation, jump off the pinnacle of the temple. You know, and Satan was even clever enough to quote the book of Psalms. You think you know the Bible? I have no proof for this. But I think the Bible has, that Satan has the Bible memorized. Now, like I say, I have no proof for that. But if you think you can outquote Satan on the Bible, I think you're making a mistake. I think he knows the Bible better than we do. And yet, he's not saved. Sad, isn't it? The devils also believe and tremble, as James tells us. So the devil knows, but he will not believe in the Son of God. And so the devil quotes Psalms. You know, he will give his angels charge over thee. So if you jump off the top of the temple, he will send an angel, and the angel will just slowly carry you down to earth. But Jesus replied again from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6 and verse 16, you shall not tempt or test the Lord your God. And then the third temptation, bow down, worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. And again, Jesus replies by quoting from Deuteronomy, chapter 6 and verse 13. You know, you shall worship the Lord your God only. Don't worship anyone else. But it's the same word of God that Jesus quoted there that we can use on. And we can count on it again and again to counter the attacks of Satan. In every situation and under every circumstance, there is comfort in knowing that God's word can give us the victory if we rely upon that word. So we can have victory through Jesus Christ. Victory through that inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. So we have the rod as a picture there of the word of God to protect us, to help us, defend us against the attacks of Satan. But then there is also a staff. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, I think some of you know that I used to be a lifeguard. And one of the things that I learned in my lifeguarding days, there was always a long pole, you know, 6, 8, 10 feet, 12 feet, and at the end it had a big hook. And the name of it was Shepherd's Crook. So that's one of the pieces of life-saving equipment that you will find pretty much in every swimming pool. Maybe if you have a private pool at home, I can't guarantee that you have it. But certainly if it's any public pool, there will be a shepherd's crook there. And what the lifeguard would do, he would take that pole and he would take the hook and hook it around the person who's drowning and pull him towards the shore. So I learned about a shepherd's crook many years before I really got to study this psalm. So the shepherd's staff is normally, it's a long slender pole, and it would have a hook at one end. And again, like the staff, it is made, like the rod was made by the shepherd, this was made by the shepherd. He selects the wood, and then he begins to shape it to fit him exactly. And the shepherd would use the staff to support himself when walking, and he could lean on it, you know, when he got tired. And a unique instrument used only for sheep. It would not be used for cattle. It could not be used for horses. It could only be used for sheep. Now, whereas the rod speaks of the Word of God, the staff is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The staff is used for the comfort of the sheep. the Comforter, the Greek word Parakletos, one who is called alongside you to help you. So you see the words, you know, different passages used, but in John it's usually translated as Comforter. You see it in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Again, it is used there. And you see the same word being used there. Some of your modern translations use it either as paraclete. That's a word that is used there. But that's the same word, comforter. So there are three areas of sheep management in which the staff plays a most important role. First of all, to draw the sheep together in an intimate relationship. You know, the shepherd would use his staff to lift a newborn lamb to bring it to its mother. If it would pick it up with his hands and then puts it down there, the mother would usually reject that lamb because it had been touched by human hands. So he would use the hook at the end of the shepherd's crook or the staff, and he would bring the sheep to the mother. But he would also use that sometimes to hook it around the sheep and to draw towards himself if he wanted to examine the sheep. Because sometimes the sheep would have flies or there might be other diseases that he would look for. So he would take that shepherd's crook and he would take that staff, pull the sheep towards him so that he could examine it. And then the Holy Spirit not only draws believers to Christ, but also to warm personal fellowship with one another. So you see that there as well. If you go to John's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 44, you know, no man come to me, Jesus says, except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So the Father draws him. So he used the staff to draw the sheep so that he could have fellowship with the sheep, or in this case, since we are the sheep, that he can have fellowship with us. So the shepherd would use his staff to draw the sheep together in an intimate relationship. He would also use the staff to guide the sheep. The shepherd will gently use his staff to guide the sheep through a gate or onto a new path. So a gate, if he would go out where there, if there would be gates, or if he would come back all the way to the village in autumn so the sheep could be there for winter time, he would use the sheep to guide it, use the staff to guide the sheep through the door. So, or if they would be out, you know, sheep are creatures of habit, as we've mentioned before. They would go on the same path all the time, and pretty soon it would become a deeper rut, and it would not be good for anything. So he would guide the sheep one time here, one time there. He would lead it to fresh pastures. So he would guide the sheep that way. And it's in that sense also, it is the Holy Spirit who guides believers. It is he who gently, tenderly, yet persistently says to us, this is the way, walk ye in it. So it's the Holy Spirit who guides us. And that's why I say the staff is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. The words, this is the way, walk ye in it, is of course found in the prophecy of Isaiah. And then there's a third reason why the shepherd would use his staff, and that is to help the sheep when they are in difficulty. So the shepherd will use his staff to rescue sheep that have fallen into the water. So if they did fall into the water, he could use it and bring it to shore. That's why lifeguards use that in swimming pools today to do the same thing. Or sometimes the sheep may even be caught in the brambles, in the bushes, and he could use it to bring the sheep out. And when we are in difficulties, when we cry out for help, the Good Shepherd comes to us tenderly and compassionately and lifts us by His Holy Spirit out of our difficulty. So we thank God for the staff as well. So we thank God that He has given us His Word and power and authority over us to discipline us and to protect us. And then we thank Him also for His Holy Spirit, who draws us unto Himself, and to fellow believers who guide us and who patiently and with compassion lifts us out of difficulty. So the shepherd's rod comforts us, and the shepherd's staff comfort us. Thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort us. God's holy word and God's Holy Spirit show us that God is with us, and He will never leave us, and He will never forsake us. And that's the beauty that we see here. Yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. He is with us every day of our lives. And His rod, the Word of God, and His staff, the Holy Spirit, they indeed do comfort us day by day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank You that You are the Good Shepherd, that You care for us, that because You are our Shepherd, I shall not lack anything. And we thank You that even though we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we know that we will come out on the other side, on higher ground, because our Shepherd is with us. That Your rod and Your staff comfort us, even the Word of God and the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will guide us into all truth. So, Father, we thank You that indeed You are the comforting Shepherd. We thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.